Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, and my special guest today is Joseph Yuzinski. He's an associate professor at the University of Miami, and his new book, American Conspiracy Theories, analyzes why so many people believe in ideas such as the conspiracy theories involving JFK, 9/11, and walking on the moon. Professor, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, if you go back maybe 5 or 6 years, you start to see this explosion of interest in conspiracy theories. And part of that was driven by fears that the government had been behind 9/11. And particularly at the time that Barack Obama, who was a candidate who, you know, really came out of nowhere, that he was part of some secret plot. Maybe he was born in some other country. Maybe he was a secret Muslim. But there were a lot of fears at that time because of those things. And that got scholars involved in the conversation, asking questions like, why are people believing these things? How do these beliefs transmit? So it was around 2010 when I first got into it.
Why do you think so many Americans believe these theories?
Because they're predisposed to believe that there are malevolent plots out there, and there isn't that much that we can do with it, or that much that we can do about it. I mean, one thing that experimental work tells us is that people who believe in conspiracy theories, doesn't matter what you throw at them, or what evidence you give them, or no matter how authoritative it is, people hold on to their beliefs. And that's not very different with conspiracy theories as it is from, say, their partisan beliefs or their issue positions that they take. People don't like
beliefs and things like that, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, a lot of times what will happen is conspiracy theorists will turn around and they'll show you a conspiracy theory that turned out to be real. And you cited one famous American conspiracy theory, the one surrounding the creation of the Declaration of Independence. So some conspiracies, such as those and 9/11, are real. What do you say when confronted with that?
Well, there are a lot of conspiracy theories out there, and I don't think anyone would make the case that they're all true. Some will eventually turn out to be true, and a lot won't. So saying that, oh, just because one was true means that another one is true, well, that's not really good evidence. And it's not a good method for finding truth.
One time I debated publicly, participated in a debate with skeptics versus conspiracy theorists, and I was the skeptic, I was the one debating against a prominent conspiracy theorist in the community, and he believed every conspiracy. He believed JFK was a conspiracy, 9/11 was a conspiracy, vaccines are a conspiracy, fluoride is a conspiracy. It's all a conspiracy. Everything is a conspiracy. And to me, I went through and did a lot of debunking on things like vaccines and thimerosal and all that stuff. But here's the problem that I see. Now, last year, The Atlantic published some polling of the American people that they did, and it showed that they figured that around 12 million people in the United States think that lizard people run the country. 12 million people. How could 12 million people possibly believe in such craziness?
I don't know if 12 million is the exact number. I've seen polling on this, and it's come in around 4%. But if you look at it with a margin of error, it could be as little as, you know, close to 0% or as much as 7%. Mm-hmm. I'd probably say that some people jokingly answer these questions when it comes to the lizard people. Because I have not come across anyone who has ever been involved with that belief.
You need to come hang out at some of my meetups. You know, I'm a libertarian activist, and a lot of, you know, we're sort of a fringe ideology right now that's a bit ascendant on the right. And you talk about how, you know, sometimes I get down because I think, oh my gosh, so we libertarians we're rife with paranoid conspiracy theorists, and I get a little upset. But you say that conspiracy theorists aren't really just an affliction of the right; they happen on the left too. And do they happen in equal numbers? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, for the most part, what we go after in the book is trying to look at the disposition that people have towards believing in conspiracy theories. So the outcome of that disposition is that you would believe in or be more or less likely to believe in specific conspiracy theories. So think of it as if you're a Republican. If I'm a Republican, then I'm going to believe in most Republican issues. You know, I'm going to like the NRA, I'm going to like lower taxes. You know, but most of those specific issue positions are an outcome of my underlying Republicanism. You know, so just the same way that people's specific conspiracy theories are the product of their underlying predisposition towards conspiracism. So if you're very conspiratorial, then you're going to be very likely to believe in you know, more conspiracy theories. If you're less conspiratorial, then you're going to be less likely to believe in conspiracy theories. So that disposition runs equally through both parties. So Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives are equally conspiratorial. And when we ask them more specific questions, like who do you think is conspiring against us, they're equally likely to say somebody is conspiring against them, just they point the fingers in different directions. The Republicans say it's the communists and the Democrats who are out to get us. And the people on the right say it's corporations and Republicans who are out to get us. So I'll give you one example. For people who were identifying as Democrats, more than half said the corporations were conspiring against us. And that kind of sums up, you know, the ideology on the left, that they believe that businesses don't treat people fairly, they're out to get them, and therefore we have to do more regulation of business.
Conspiracy theories aren't just an American phenomenon. They happen all over the world. However, I've done a lot of research on specifically conspiracy theories here in the United States and where a lot of these come from. And one of the problems that I have when I'm doing research on this and trying to educate the American people on this is that a lot of conspiracy theories in the United States actually seem to be the result of actual conspiracies by foreign intelligence agencies. During the Cold War period, for example, there was a release of an archive by a KGB general by the name of Mitrochkin. And they found in his archives that the KGB was involved in what they called quote-unquote active measures, which was after an exhaustive research of the American people. They found that not only are American people very prone to believe in religion and God, they're very prone to believe in conspiracy theories. And the KGB actually inserted items into the American zeitgeist in order to sort of undermine our democracy. One of these conspiracy theories that they sowed was that JFK was connected to a known CIA agent in Dealey Plaza in Dallas. So do you talk about at all about how some of these conspiracy theories are actual conspiracies by foreign intelligence agencies?
Not in the book, we don't. But what you say is absolutely true, is that, you know, and there are other examples, like the idea that AIDS was spread here by the government with the intention of killing black people or gay people.
Right.
And that also came out of KGB operations. Mm-hmm. So, but just because somebody says something doesn't mean anyone's going to believe it.
Well, you should take a look at
you could have foreign intelligence spreading all sorts of stuff here, and I'm sure that there are ones that they put here that nobody bought into. But the bigger concern for us isn't any specific conspiracy theory or any piece of information showing up at a particular time. It's what are people's reasons for believing it or not. And once you get to those underlying reasons, that explains a lot more than just, you know, this one instance or just a few instances.
Well, let's talk about those reasons, because one of the things that has really inspired a lot of hatred amongst people in my community towards myself is, you know, as I've been a critical debunker of conspiracy theories, I've naturally run across many personalities in the libertarian movement who make quite a bit of money from peddling conspiracy theories to the public. So do you lay any of the blame on the shoulders of people such as David Icke or Alex Jones who directly profit from this kind of fear-mongering?
I don't don't know if I lay blame on them. They're certainly advantageous, and they do well with it. Mm-hmm. And in fact, at the end of the book, we actually give advice for how to be a successful conspiracy theorist. You know, take David Icke, for example. I mean, he sold a bunch of books about the lizard people ruling the world. But he wasn't reaching a very big audience because most don't believe that. So in order to raise more money and become more profitable in what he was doing, he changed his beliefs around. So he doesn't talk about the lizard people quite so much. Instead, he's broadened his broadened the groups that he now accuses of being involved in the conspiracy. So now it's the political parties, it's the financial institutions, it's the governments, and it's the politicians. And those are the groups that everyone can hate. Those are groups that everyone can say, yeah, I don't like them, and I can get in on this belief. Because if he had just stuck with lizard people, I mean, there'd be nobody paying money to go see him. But now he's showing up. I mean, he's doing shows at Wembley, in England, and he's doing very well, charging high prices, because he's giving the scapegoats that everybody wants to scapegoat.
But you don't really lay any blame on these people themselves for spreading this BS?
Do I lay blame on them? No. I mean, people have a choice if they want to listen to them, and they have a choice if they want to pay for tickets and show up. Mm-hmm. So I can go out and say whatever I want. It doesn't mean anyone's going to listen to me, and it doesn't mean anyone's going to pay to hear what I have to say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we apply the same argument to the internet. People say, oh, my God, because the internet, people believe in conspiracy theories now. No. No one, you know, the only people who get conspiracy theories from the internet are people who really want to get conspiracy theories from the internet. Just because you put up some kooky theory somewhere doesn't mean anyone's ever going to go to that page. It doesn't mean that someone who gets there is actually going to believe what you have to say. People have to be predisposed to, one, go seek out that information, and two, believe it once they're exposed to it.
Are we in danger of violence inspired by conspiracy theories?
A little bit.
Can you expand on that?
I wish I would be able to tell you that there's going to be violence coming X day from group X. I don't have that information, and I wish I did. But I guess what I would say is this, that those who are most in danger are probably already most protected, and that those who go after groups that are the least protected are those who, you know, don't go very far with their beliefs. So, take Anders Breivik, who believed in a bunch of, you know, right-wing European conspiracy theories, went and killed a bunch of kids. He's going nowhere. His beliefs are going nowhere. Okay.
What would you say you're really trying to reveal the most, the heart of people, that you, the thing that you want people to get the most out of your book about conspiracy theories?
That they follow predictable patterns. That whoever is in power are the ones that we tend to accuse of conspiring against us. So right now it's President Obama, because he's the most powerful person in the country, and we accuse him of being up to no good. So power drives these things. When the next person comes into the Oval Office, it'll be that person who we think is the conspirator. You know, just like the big belief, you know, a few years ago was Bush did 9/11, and Bush was doing this and that, and Cheney was doing this and that. Once they're out of power, no one cares anymore. Now it's the new person is doing all this stuff. So power drives our most popular conspiracy theories. And then the other part is, too, some people are just predisposed. So you mentioned the person that you saw at a conference who believed in every conspiracy theory. Well, that person would be way up there in terms of their underlying level of conspiracism. There are other people who don't believe in any. You know, most people are somewhere in the middle. So I don't believe the people who reject all conspiracy theories, and I don't believe the people who accept all conspiracy theories. Some are true, some aren't. It's tough to know which are which, you know, but don't take them as fact.
All right, Professor. Well, you're kind of a relatively new scene to this face to this scene. So why don't you tell our listeners where they can find a copy of your book?
The book is American Conspiracy Theories. It's available in Kindle and paperback on Amazon right now. And also available from Oxford University Press.
All right, Joseph Yasinski, Associate Professor, University of Miami. His new book, American Conspiracy Theories, check it out. Thanks a lot for coming on the show today, sir.
Thank you.